We haven't had a guest for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
How long has it been?
Ooh. Bit Garage.
Okay, yeah.
I think that was the last time we had guests. Yeah. I mean, that was in studio guests, so I, you know, slightly different, but the same.
Yeah, it's a fun way to have guests in studio.
It is.
Yeah. One day, maybe we'll have a guest in the studio together.
Yeah, again. Well, one day again, yeah.
One day again, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we had our old buddy Ryan. What is his Instagram handle?
Ready Rig 4x4.
That's right. I was going to say Ready Rig, but then I couldn't remember if 4x4 was in there. So Ready Rig 4x4 on Instagram. Good follow. He's got a crazy ZR2 Colorado. He just did an LS swap, which we are going to talk about a bunch, which is fun. He's got some really cool parts with it, which is also cool. And he's a good storyteller. So it's always fun to have him around. He just kind of, he tells, you know, the whole story. He's talking about all the different, you know, pieces of it, which I think is really fun. Then we also touch base about King Hammers because he is a co-driver for a 4800 car. And that's pretty exciting. So I would definitely listen for that part if you're into anything, because it's worth it no matter what.
Yes. And then we play a game.
And then we play a game. Our favorite game.
Yep.
Which is, would you pay money for this?
Yeah.
For that or this? You pay money for that.
For this.
Yeah. For this. Yeah.
California edition.
California edition. And it is legitimately a California edition.
Like, yeah. Very perfect. California.
Yeah. Only thing that would have made it more California is if we were looking at Tesla Model 3s. But but we wouldn't.
Not sure that's one I'd pick.
Nope.
Not for that.
Okay. Well. Welcome to the Campfire Passport Podcast.
Great to see you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Heck yeah. Your last podcast. You guys said you went snow camping and all that.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah, it was eventful. Sean.
No.
Sean wasn't a fan.
Not my favorite thing. I was like, I think everybody was kind of fine with it, and some people really liked it, but I was just like, I don't understand the appeal of this.
It's cold. Yeah. Why do you just want to just freeze out there? Yeah.
Yeah. That was like, well, we can have a bigger fire. Okay. But if it was warm, we wouldn't need the big fire. So,
I mean, honestly, it wasn't that cold.
No,
it wasn't colder than like our usual first trip of the season, you know, to the Alvord. So,
except for it was cold during the day. That was the catch.
It was just colder during the day. Yeah. But we also,
are you guys wheeling, or are you guys just hanging out in camp? Are you going out wheeling, or what are you guys doing?
We did both. Like we camped, and then after, like, well, we tried to get into the snow and realized that the conditions were not ideal for us to get very far, so we went away from the snow to camp, and then the next day, we tried to do the, like, route that I had kind of planned to go around on, and that ended up taking all day to do, shit, what was it? It was, like, not even 20 miles. I'll have to pull it up and look again. It was not very far, but it was also a pretty large group of us, so that didn't aid in how long it took, because almost everybody got stuck at least once.
I didn't,
but you know.
ZR2s, baby.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't think I got stuck either, did I? I did the first day. I got real stuck the first day.
You got real stuck the first day, but but
rescuing a certain ZR2 Colorado.
Yeah. So. Just the one time. I needed less help than you did.
Yeah, I guess. I have a habit of making things way worse in the snow. Yeah. I feel like I'm capable usually. Like I'm at the front of the pack always. It's great. But when things go south, usually I've like really, yeah, fully buried myself. And I'm like, you know, I'm not crawling out of it. I'm using all of my throttle all the time, you know. So it's a big risk, big, well, that's big reward. It's the opposite of that. Whatever the opposite of that is.
Just lots of risk.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I think that's it.
Yeah, fuck around and find out. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it was 7 miles.
Holy crap. That must have been
7 miles. You even guessed 20 as a low guess.
20 was like from the paved road out to the other paved road. But yeah, like the actual snow portion was like 7 miles.
Jeez. So we took 2 days to do 20 miles.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work.
It was. Yeah. I mean, but we had, how many cars was it? It was, so me, you, Tyson, Robert, Jesse, Royce, Mike, Oliver,
Cody.
Damn.
9, yeah, so 9 rigs.
Yeah, ranging from like...
Some of which were really close to stock, so...
Yeah, ranging from stock you know, suburban on 40s.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, sick.
So, yeah. Wide variety.
Very wide variety.
An eclectic group, yeah.
That's... Always. Yeah, that's kind of how our group has always been, and I think that's why I like the group, is we've... I mean, granted, like, Sean's had the same thing since day one. And some of us are much more fickle and cycle through things, but no one tends to have like the same thing. Right. It's like everyone has their own little, like there was a time where there was a few too many Tacomas, but like for the most part, it's everybody is like something slightly different. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, I like that. I like that when everybody kind of has their own way. Oh, yeah. Me? Yes. Yes.
How about you?
I have been busy.
I've been following along with the rig changes, and it is epic. It's a big change.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a lot of work. I actually was just at one of my buddy's shops in Santa Barbara just now, and I just drove back to where I live out in the desert. But it took a year to do everything, and I honestly could have done all of the work in about a week. But there's always, you know, there's companies that like make things for you that don't work, and you have to try other things. But all of the work I did could have been smashed into like a week, you know. You just have to wait for parts. It's just been insane returning parts and buying more parts, and yeah, so it's madness.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how much hinges on like getting sometimes one specific part, or like trying to find the thing that works, or like even the LS swap stuff that's like pretty simple. Sometimes it's like, I don't know, you're rebuilding something and you need steam tubes or something, and you're like, what do I buy?
Stupid, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Now I gotta like go through the research, figure out what everybody's using, and then make it happen.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah, you're looking for one little part every once in a while, and then it takes a week or two to get here, and then it's just a little bit wrong, and you return it, and then another month later you finally get the part. And so I've been going through that for a whole year, and I've been wanting to blow my brains out, but I finally got it all done, so I'm excited.
That's awesome. And when we were talking about this before, it sounded like you can like the GM ECU stuff like all works, right? Like you've got, is everything pretty much like stock-ish?
Yeah, so that was part of the problem, is the motor that I chose is an LS motor, like an older, like a 2008. And if I would have chosen an LT motor with a direct injection, the computer would have been able to talk to that, or something like the BCM would have been able to talk to the ECM and all kinds of stuff. But because I chose an LS motor, And because I had the diesel before that, for some reason, the BCM didn't want to talk to that. I went to a really knowledgeable guy here where I live, and he messaged a bunch of GM guys who basically wrote the code and all the ECM stuff. And he said there's no way you can do it because of the motor you chose. So I'm running a standalone on the LS, and nothing is running on my BCM. So I'm missing a few things, like my electric power assist steering. So I'm manually steering it right now on 40s, which is amazing. So much fun. I'm getting a little shoulder workout on the freeway. I'm making sure I have two hands on it going to 80 miles an hour, you know. But it's all good.
Now you got the problem of it being fast too, so you got to hold on for dear life.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. And not only that, it's so easy to break loose the rear tires. Like almost every time I just barely give it a little wop wop, and the rear tires will start sliding, you know. So it's pretty sick, but it's definitely a lot of work.
Oh man. Yeah, that's got to be rough with manual steering. What's the do you have a fix? Do you know what to do?
There's a handful of options. So because I have the LS, it has a hydraulic pump for steering, so it has the lines all in one nice little unit. I can bolt it on, and I just have to find a rack and pinion that's hydraulic, and I can just make lines to that. The only problem is nobody really makes the same kind of like bolt pattern for those rack and pinions to mine, so I'd have to modify something. So I can go that direction. Yeah, but it's a lot of fabrication for kind of no reason. I think what I'm doing right now is I pulled out the little motor in my rack and pinion, so there's no resistance like against that motor at all. So it's a little bit easier. It's easier than you think. Like I'm still driving it. You know, if it didn't work, I wouldn't be driving it. But so right now it's basically just a mechanical rack and pinion. But what I actually just bought and should be coming in the mail in a couple of days is a Toyota Prius standalone electronic power steering assist. So I can maybe shove that underneath my steering wheel, underneath my dash, and basically just get the shaft going to that open rack and pinion now. And all I need is, like, seriously, the way that I'm driving it, it's workable, but just a little bit of it. All I need is a little bit of assist from this thing, and it should work out. So we'll see if that works out. And if that doesn't, I have another plan with another Toyota rack and pinion. So always something, you know?
Yeah.
I know, like, drift guys use, I forget what they are. There's a popular, it might be a Leaf or something that you can use like the, you know, the pump from, but the deal is that works. It's an electric pump to use, you know, in place of a hydraulic pump. From the Volvo. So
yeah. From the
Volvo. Maybe that's it. Yep. That's it.
Yeah. So, but you still have to have the hydraulic rack and pinion. So if I were to get a hydraulic rack and pinion right now, I would be able to hook it up to the LS anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't really need that. So.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that they had it driven by like an electric gear, basically.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy. Oh, go ahead, Colin. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, do you remember on the Rubicon when mine had an error? And then it's rough steering that thing when it says that the steering assist has been turned off.
getting a shoulder workout. Yeah.
So how does it work?
How does what work? It's not. So there's a gear on the shaft and there's a gear on the motor, and it's this thin, tiny little band. It's like this rubber band it's got all the. It's basically a gear, it's so incredible how thin and weak it feels when you pull it all apart. But I don't know. It works. Yeah. So no.
That's wild. I had no idea that it was. I mean, you know, it's funny. I should know that because of what Colin's saying on our Rubicon trip. He had that error, and he was just like, "I have no power steering," and then it just came back, or he restarted it, whichever it was.
I don't remember what I did to make it work again, but it just it started to work again at some point. And if you remember that dude that took his stock Ranger
Oh yeah.
That was the error on his too. Like he thought that he blew that that steering assist motor up on his Ranger.
Hmm.
But he found out that he hadn't, and that also he couldn't get it out while he was at Buck Island. So
I've been there. Broken. But yes. Buck Island broken. Done that. But yeah, so you might have like there's got to be some kind of safety on our steering or something, because obviously you got it working again somehow. But
yeah,
you know, maybe it kind of saved itself and then cooled down or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like an overheating thing, because I mean when it did do it, it absolutely was when I had the front locked and I was trying to do it was Arnold's Rock. And I was trying to do like the line that's off to the left of it, because I felt like I was too narrow to go through the rock and mm-hmm. Climb and a sharp left to like get lined up on it. And then like halfway up it, it just like goes on the screen like steering assist disabled. It's like, huh. Uh-oh. And then I tried to turn right once I got to the top and I was like, oh yeah, steering assist is definitely disabled.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets tough real quick, man, especially you're on 37s, yes, it does. Right? Yeah.
Yep.
And air down. When you're air down, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Low pressure, 37s. Front was locked. I'm like, okay, I better unlock everything, see if I can get it to turn.
Yeah.
It was annoying, but it went away faster than I guess we kind of like hung out there for a minute, so it may have just been that. Like it was too hot from working too hard, and then once it mm-hmm. cooled down, everything was fine again. So
that's
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
So,
sorry, I've been looking at these
motors
now. I'm trying to figure out exactly how this works.
Exactly how it works.
I cannot help myself.
Oh, really? I love that. That's what we do, right?
Yeah.
I was just telling a friend, I was over at a friend's house, and she has two little boys, and they like the Transformers and things that flip and move and all kinds of stuff as toys, you know? And I told her, yeah, just mm-hmm. a couple more years and your refrigerator door is going to be hanging off because they took it apart, and your coffee machine is going to be unscrewed. That's what I did. Growing up, there was like telephones taken apart and never put back together. And yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. We just got to figure out how things work, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but many of those things did not go back together for me.
No.
I just took them apart.
Yeah.
Just I saw what was see, in there, and then know? I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
After that.
Next thing. Yeah.
As I've grown up, putting things back together is a little bit more appealing than it used to be, I think.
There's some satisfaction in it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got the LS in there now, got some steering issues to iron out, but also there's quite the spicy transfer case change that you made there. Because I remember when we first talked, it was you were going to see if you could use the stock case, and then if not, you were just going to use, you know, one that would go on to a 4L80 or whatever. And then that devolved into a behemoth.
Oh man. Oh yes. That's what I like to do. I like to create more problems for myself and then,
sure.
And then figure out, you know, can I use this? No, that's gone. Can I use this? No, that's gone. Well, might as well just go find the best thing possible. And, I had actually been talking to Behemoth Dylan over there. He's incredible. He's super nice and super patient. I'm sure he deals with, you know, 20 of me's like every day, questions, you know, and he's so nice and patient. But he ended up, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, but he ended up giving me a nice deal. I got a great deal for that 205. And it's incredible, man. So brand new gears, it's a 205, and now I have control over the front and the rear, so I can do mm-hmm. front digs, I can do all that stuff.
Man.
And not only that, I actually had a NP241 sitting around in the garage from a friend that just gave it to me because he was moving or whatever, And so it's just hanging around, and they happen to have a an underdrive box made specifically for the planetary gears and all that from an MP241. So they gave me a very nice deal again on that box, and they're incredible. I cannot say enough good things about Behemoth and how patient they were with me and my million questions and all that stuff. But yeah, so behind the LS and then the 6L80, I have the 241 underdrive, so I can, it goes stupid low. And then I have the 205 Behemoth behind that, the Colossus. And I'm so excited. When I put the 205 in low, so front and rear in low, and then I put the underdrive in low, my brakes don't even stop the car. Like, it has so much torque. There's so much torque. I went and tested it out in the dirt out down the road, and there's so much. I'm smashing the brakes, and my truck won't stop. It's like twisting to try to just keep moving. It's insane. So I'm super excited about that.
That's awesome.
So now you need a brake kit. Gotta put big brakes on it, and then.
well, I have the 14 bolt in the rear, and that has the 2500 brakes, from the Silverado, and I just put 1-ton hubs in the front, which has the enormous 1-ton brakes. These pistons are enormous, but I don't know if I'm not getting enough fluid to those big pistons or what, but I'm stopping fine unless I'm in low, stupid low, retarded low. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool, man. Yeah. And if you go under the truck, that's the first thing you see is this blue jewel sitting there. It's gorgeous. So yeah can't say enough good things about Behemoth.
Nice. Yeah, is it kind of a dream case?
I guess it's too. I was thinking Land Cruiser problems. I was going to ask if it was noisy on the street, but it's not, because you're not using four wheel drive, and you wouldn't. I'm sure that you don't even notice it's there.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's you really don't. Case. Yeah. Well, it's all gear driven, so it's not chain. So because it's gear driven, it's stronger. We all know that. But it's like when if you're disengaged and I'm only in rear wheel high. There's literally nothing else turning in there. It's just 1-to-1 all the way back. Mm-hmm. So there's no chains or anything turning.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's good. The motor, I don't want to go backwards, but the motor's a 6.2, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's a 6.2. It's a 2000 out of a 2008 Cadillac Escalade. So that's called an L92, and it's basically an LS3 minus a couple goodies, like a valve springs and some valves, and the LS3s don't have the VVT and the direct whatever, you know, like the cylinders shut down or whatever.
DOD.
So if I just got to basically, there's a delete for that. And when I do that delete, I might as well get a pretty, I could get a better cam in there. So it's always something.
Yeah, my next question was, did you do any while you were in there?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the next thing. I mean, I kind of just wanted to get everything in the truck first and make sure it was working. Before I started spending $1,000 here and $1,000 there and making everything really nice, which is going to end up happening. But I really just, right now, everything works. Except
proof
for my
concept was the first part.
Correct. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to do that first. And, I just drove it to, Santa Barbara and back, last night and today. So it just went on a 3-hour trip there and a 3-hour trip back. And, you know, I'm on the freeway like this with my manual steering, but it's at least it works. So I just got to fix all the little bugs here and there. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what are your axle gears like? What do you have?
So it's a 456 and I only have the rear axle in now. So there's no front axle sitting in it right now. Just two-wheel drive, and I picked up a Chevy 2500 Silverado 9 1/4 just yesterday, and I'm going to try to either shove that in there and see if I can make that work, or actually, if I just move my camera right here, there's a 9 inch right here from Trail Gear, so I'm going to try to chop that up right there and make an IFS out of that if the 9 1/4 doesn't work. So we'll see what happens. There's just like my steering. I don't really know what's going to happen, but we're just going to try to figure it out as we go, you know?
Yeah. I love it. I love we'll figure it out.
It's such a great attitude to like just be like, yeah, I'm just going to see if this works. And if it doesn't, I'll just see if the next thing does.
It's always kind of been like that, you know? I mean, you try this and something doesn't work. And I've literally sawzawed parts off of my truck because I don't like it anymore. And then I make something else, you know? So it's just whatever works, you know?
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. Is it, how's your highway mileage? Is it okay?
It's reasonable. With the diesel, it was really good when I had that four-cylinder diesel in it.
Yeah.
But I was also probably driving slower with the diesel. And it's just so much fun. I have the motor straight piped right now. So I've just dumped from the exhaust manifolds down just to get the car running. And so it's ridiculously loud. So I probably drive it with more throttle just so I can hear it now. So my point is I don't get the best gas mileage because I'm driving like an idiot right now. And it's around 15, 16 miles per gallon, something like that.
I mean, that's what I get. So that's fine.
Yeah. Driving. It's not terrible.
I also like can't get onto an on-ramp just like you without going, you know, let's. We've got all of this. We might as well use it sometimes. Yeah. But I mean, same as you, I'm sure it in a big truck going fast, it gets really sketchy really quick. That is the thing that's like surprised me more than like I've driven plenty of fast cars that are scary fun. But man, there's like a moment with mine where I'm like, this is too much speed. Like it's too squishy and non-responsive. It's not even the brakes. Like I worry about the brakes, but it's not even that. It's just like I can't swerve out of the way of anything right now.
Oh no. Yeah. Yeah. I'm in the exact same boat right now. Yeah, exactly.
It's a really exciting way to live life.
Plus 40s on beadlocks. So it's
how
well did those balance out?
Oh my God. Yeah. There's zero balance. They all have their own vibration, you know?
Yeah.
And then I can't steer, and then it's straight piped exhaust. And then I'm still turning my music up and I'm just going down the freeway. You know, it's a madhouse right now, which is fun.
That is like an assault on the senses, I'm sure.
Yeah. Never been so tired after driving it.
I was about to say, you get home and go to sleep exhausted. 12 hours every time. Yeah.
It's a core workout, man. I'm like my shoulders and my core trying to stabilize from not like if I catch a pothole, I mean, it jerks my wheel because there's no power assist. It's crazy. Oh my God. It's fun, though. I love it. And then, you know, the rear end like breaks loose every time I like just gave it a little gas. So it's insane. Yeah. But it's fine.
I mean, that's why we do this, right? Like there's definitely a point of this where you're like, well, you know, I'm a car enthusiast and what I wanted to do was build this silly thing and I've done it. And the consequences are fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. And scary. Yeah.
If it gives you that shit eating grin anytime you do something, you know, in it, it's like, yeah, it's like, this is why I did it. It's the same, absolutely. Like I get the same thing in, you know, my low Audi. Every time I like hit the ground, scrape somewhere and just, and somebody looks over at it. Cause they're like, oh God, you know, this startles them. Cause I've just like smashed the ground hard. And it's just like, it's great. I can't help but have just the biggest smile as I'm going down the road. Like, that's what this does. It's pretty entertaining.
Absolutely. Heck yeah. I love that.
It's good. Fun. Well,
yeah.
The other thing that we thought would be fun to talk about would be hammers, because you just went out there and did a little action. You drove your truck out there. How far is that for you? Are you
Yeah, really close. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm just over an hour. So like an hour and 10 or 20 minutes, something like that. Cause I'm just north of Victorville right now. And okay. All I got to do is drive past Victorville and Hammers is right there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So nice. That was nice. That was the first like drive my truck anywhere. I literally went around the block a couple times like, okay, I can do this, you know? Okay, bye, babe. I'll see you if I make it, you know.
So. Keep your phone on.
Yeah, no, seriously. No joke. You're going to have to come get me in your Kia.
Yeah. Your little flat toe.
Yeah, the Kia. Just all-wheel drive. Dude, she takes that Kia everywhere, man. Out to find. She, like, tries to go find me out in Hammers. It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
She has a little axle. It's like this little weird... all-wheel drive axle lock button. So every time I'm okay. somewhere random and she tries to find me, I say, hey, lock your axles, you know, or whatever. So funny.
Hit the go button.
Yeah. Little Kia, it's fun. But Hammers was great. Nice. We had I actually had the time of my life. I've been to Hammers, I don't know, 6 or 7 times now or 8 times. And, this was the most fun I've ever had out at Hammers. It gets crazier and crazier every year with more people and the madness and all that. But mm-hmm. this year, I'm co-driving for a guy, Andrew, my buddy, Andrew. And it's his race car and his money and all that. But he is very connected with Nitto. And, and Nitto took care of us this year. I felt like a rock star the entire time. Honestly, I got the swag and nice. And we were taking pictures next to all the greats, you know, like Shannon Campbell, like all the Gomez brothers, and I mean everybody. So we were taking pictures with them with our rigs, and they're giving us gear, and they actually ended up having an extra trailer, so within the Nitto group. So I was sleeping in a trailer, taking a shower every day. Wow, I felt like, yeah, it was the most amazing Hammers trip for me. But the race ended up not being the best. So it all kind of like, I had too much of a good time, I guess. I don't know, but we had the time of our lives until the second lap on our race. And we were doing really, really great. We ended up catching a lot of cars because there was a lot. There were 2 desert loops we had to do before we got to the rocks in the 4800 class. The 44 guys had to do 3 loops. But we were going. So we were taking a couple turns and we both felt the rear end was a little bit loose. And we were kind of like, as we were turning right, it would lean left more than we were used to. And we didn't realize that the rear sway bar had broken, that we just found out a couple days ago as we went through it. But the rear sway bar broke, but when we were going out in the big desert loop, wide open, nobody's out there, deep ruts, and the sand got really soft, and his front sidewall kind of caught to the right, and he swerved to kind of correct to the left, and that donkey kicked our rear end out from under us, and we ended up just tumbling probably 5, 7, 8 times. And we hit really, really hard a couple times on the A pillar, which is right next to my head on the race car. And so my head hit that a few times, but luckily the A pillar held. Those A pillars, you know, sometimes they don't hold. But that, because it held, I mean, we were safe, but it definitely like it pinched the tubing flat. And ooh. I mean, it's thick. I don't know what walling the tubing has, but it takes a lot. Like we hit my side a few times, and we even hit so many. I'm sorry if it's funny or whatever, but I keep telling the story. We hit so many times, like rolled on top of our lid and everything so many times. That at one moment, when we started going, I just grabbed my harnesses. At one moment, I didn't feel us hitting the ground anymore. And I thought, okay, we must be done. We must be done rolling or whatever. And I kind of relaxed. And then all of a sudden, ba-boom, 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 we hit three or four more times. And we were upside down in the air for so long that I actually thought we were, like, we were stopped. We had stopped crashing.
Oh, God.
But yeah, so it was a full-on Talladega Nights moment where he says, oh, I'm in the air. This is not good. I was basically doing that, but thinking like we were done crashing, but we weren't. It was a pretty wild one.
That's wild. I was just watching the Daytona 500 coverage, like before the race, like when the race hadn't started. I'm not a big NASCAR fan, but I was watching this. but they were talking. I forget who it was. It was like one of the commentator guys. Might have been like, I don't know, one of the greats, and then somebody younger. And they were talking about that same phenomenon where, like, he had, you know, had they'd both had the experience where they had done enough tumbles in one go that once the car went really far airborne, they opened, both of them were talking about opening their eyes in this scenario and going, oh shit, it's not over. Right. And then closing and, you know, grabbing again because, you know, they knew they were going to brace for impact again. So that's wild. That
really, that you just heard that on the NASCAR thing?
I did. Recently? Yeah. Like this last weekend. So you were definitely among great company. It sounds like. Greats,
yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Some of the greatest crashes. Yeah.
Yeah. They were talking. I forget. It was one of the guys like crashed during the ARCA race or like qualifying or something over the weekend. And that was the deal. And it was a gnarly looking crash. Like he hit the grass in the infield. Maybe it was the year before. That's what it was. He hit the grass and it just sent him, you know, like high sided all over the place. And anyway, yeah. same sort of idea though. A little faster, probably. But probably equally scary. I can't imagine that. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's so many rocks and things out there. Like that's obviously, it's probably the last thing going through your mind. You're probably just the dust hanging on for dear life.
Yeah. No, it was definitely an intense experience. I'm glad everybody was okay. Well, when we landed on like my window side, but because of the way that the cage is built, we're basically kind of upside down, but still on our side. So that the ground was like right here by my head. And my buddy Andrew, his arms were actually dangling across my chest. I knew he was out. So he was out for like maybe a second or two. He wasn't out like gone, but he was definitely like unconscious for maybe a couple seconds. And then we got kind of moving and I got him out of his side on top first. But yeah, no, it's intense, man. It's a crazy experience, but I'm glad I had a brand new helmet. Probably nice. Saved my life, honestly. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, it gets awesome. Crazy out there.
That's what it's for, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Good to see the safety stuff doing the safety things. That's very good.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, we get the whole safety check and all that. I mean, you're definitely responsible for yourself and all that and how you build the rig, but there's safety checks that all these cars have to go through. And there's a reason why going 100 miles an hour out in the middle of nowhere. Gets pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that is awesome.
Definitely some crash videos from this year's that there was a couple of nasty ones for sure.
Oh.
Like,
well, that gap jump. I can't believe they had the gap jump.
Oh
God, yeah, that was insane.
Why was that there?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was the worst thing they could have done.
It seemed pretty bad in what, you know, all the things that I saw, but I, you know, I always wonder like, okay, was that just like five people out of 500 or was it a problem?
No, it was definitely a problem. I mean,
like I said, I only saw two people do it.
No, there were more than two people. I mean, there was that first one was the Jeep Gladiator. The guy didn't even know it was there for some reason. Yeah. First off, you gotta, what are you doing?
But, well, there's the problem.
he just did, like, you're going 20 miles an hour. Just, but anyway, it was too many for me to be. I mean, I still jumped it. I mean, Andrew and I still jumped it, but same time, we were confident. We've done that before in other races and all that. But there's new guys out there, and there's guys that don't know that's out, you know, the guys that have cars that are kind of iffy, you know, so it was just a bad idea. And then by the time the unlimited class went, the 44 guys, they had bermed it over, Like that, those are the only guys that can actually make it, you know, it was just,
right.
It was just incredible.
That's a little counterproductive. I mean, I get why they would do it because somebody's going to go out there anyways at some point.
There were too many people that crashed.
Yeah.
Man. God,
crazy.
Crazy.
Madness. It was madness this year. I had a blast though.
That's good. The one that we were talking about, I forget who it was, the side-by-side that went tumbling, and there was a bunch of really good side or like slow motion footage. It was
slow
of it.
Motion, yeah.
That was on the top of the qualifying course, and yeah. There's like a pinch, and you come down, and I think the word around for everybody was make sure you stay on it once you're cresting or something like that. You know, like that's what we were thinking. Once we crest, you know, just stay on it to get moving. And I think he just stayed on it a little too crooked and he just continued to stay on it and whoop, everybody saw the slow motion of that thing just tumbling.
Oh my God.
Insane.
Yeah. I mean, it was great footage, but man, yeah. Like 3 out of the 4 knuckles busted and just, and you can watch it all happen. Yeah. Slow motion.
Yeah. Great. Bad news.
Yeah.
Bad news. But that's the sport, right? So I mean, that's what we do. That's why we're caged. It's all the safety equipment and all that.
Yep.
Yeah.
No. That's why it's built like that. Yeah. So was your car that you were in, so was that an IFS rig or is it a solid axle rig?
No, well, because I'm in the 4800 class, which is the Everyman Challenge Legends class.
Everyman, yeah.
We are in our rules, you have to have a solid front axle. So everybody has a solid front axle in our group or whatever.
We're all limited in the class,
yeah. So that, and we're all limited to 37-inch tires.
37.
And only one shock per corner, so no bypasses or anything like that. And there's a couple more rules that are just kind of minor.
Yeah,
was there, everybody's a solid axle.
Was there a horsepower rule on that one too? Can't remember if there was or not. That it's funny, yeah, like that you were in the Everyman because that was like the class that I saw the most of, like just like on my lunches or whatever, like I'd pop it up on YouTube and watch, and that was like the bulk of what I somehow timed out being able to see. And like there was a couple, it was like there was two groups almost. There was one that was like they were limited to on horsepower, and then there was like an unlimited that was like these guys were out there with like 1,000+ horsepower cars, but they
I think
were
that's
like the same
4600 or there's a stock class which is 4500. There's they mix all three of the classes together, 4500, 4600, 4800, and so I forget what all their rules and all that are, but everybody has their own specific rules for their class.
Yeah,
makes sense.
But sometimes those guys do have like crazy horsepower. Sometimes those are like $500,000 cars. Those ones you're talking about. It's like, what are we doing here? How can we compete with that?
Not quite every man.
Not quite.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's
a little bit more some men.
Some man.
Some guys that have a business that they can pay for it all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the plan moving forward? Is the car owner going to rebuild? Like what's the thought there? Or new chassis?
That tubing kind of pinched in and it held, but in my opinion I would either get that thing rebuilt or not race that chassis anymore. But that's not my money, it's not my call. He does still want to race. So I just talked to him today and I don't know if he's going to get his mechanic to like kind of redo that tubing. I don't know. I'm sure somebody knows. All the welds look good, but I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. So whenever he gets somebody to check it out, if he asks me to co-drive, I will. But I definitely would want him to like make sure that A pillar will hold again if we get another big wreck.
Man, if that's flat the next time you show up to sit in that passenger seat, you might have some of the second thoughts.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd be lowering my seat at all so we can get a little further away from that.
It's a little different point, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see though. But yeah, no more races. He was talking about a race in May, I think. So we'll see if he gets that chassis fixed or whatever broke on the car, because we flipped a few times. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Is that chassis? Is it like one of the popular pre-built ones, or is it one that he did himself?
Right. No. Yeah. It's exactly that. It's a Jimmy's chassis, and it's actually a chassis from Lauren Healy. So Jimmy's has their own kind of chassis, and then Lauren Healy kind of had some kind of side project with Jimmy's, and so that's kind of the chassis that we have. And mm-hmm. My buddy Andrew, he has it. It's not mine, but I wish it was. But I forget. So it's a Jimmy's chassis with Spider Track axles, 40 spline Spider Track axles with an LS7, so 7 liter LS, and an Atlas. And the thing is just it'll go anywhere. Obviously, you know, it's a race car.
I've always wondered with those things. Like I've seen people, you know, just wheel them, and I've always wondered if that, like, how many people actually use them, you know, outside of competition. Or they're just like, hey, this is also my thing I take to Moab.
Oh, Moab. Well, I know that Andrew and my other buddy Jesse, who made his own chassis, they'll tow it out. I mean, I think they've done the Rubicon with them, and they'll tow them out and have fun and wreck wheel them a little bit. But they're mainly used for like the races. So like Andrew has another car he can take, a Jeep that he can take wheeling and all that. But we have wheeled his race car together out in Hammers just for fun, like on Thanksgiving. That's fun.
It's testing then. It's different.
That's a testing too. Well,
it actually was. Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, the time we did take it, you're right. We hadn't worked together before. So we were actually I was kind of leading them through some trails, and we were kind of practicing a little bit, but at the same time we're drinking, you know, and having a good time on the trails.
Yeah. It's a good day at work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great day at work. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Nice. Cool.
Tell me about the ZR. How's the ZR2 doing, and how's your guys' wheeling? I want to hear about the stuff you're doing to your cars.
Shit. I mean, recently, because I smashed the cross member behind the transfer case and the quote unquote transfer case skid plate, if you want to even call it that, into the transfer case, and almost ripped the drain plug out of it completely. It did finally start leaking after our snow wheeling trip. And so I took that out, and like the first probably like 3 threads on the transfer case are completely pulled out, gone. And it really mangled the threads on the plug as well. And of course I couldn't get a plug anywhere from anybody locally, like when I was doing it. So what I ended up doing was I took the fill plug out and put some nice Teflon tape on it, and then put it in the drain side, and went in far enough, and I like got it tight enough to where like I felt comfortable that it was tight enough, and it hasn't leaked, so that's a plus. And then I replaced that cross member because it was bent to shit, but now it's got a 2x2, and I think it was what is that? I think it's 3/16 wall, square tube that I like. Mm-hmm. So I cut the whole thing out, put that square tube in there, cause that's like going to be way stronger. And then I just designed a skid plate for it as well, that I sent off to my buddy to, get cut and bent. So hopefully sometime in the near future, I'll have some like real transfer case protection. Apparently I need it since I've totally fucking busted the shit out of it. Cause it's so in all of that, I like half ripped that like vacuum pump thing that's like mounted right next to the transfer case.
That's the ABS. That's your stability.
Yeah. Like I kind of half ripped that out. It's not all the way and everything works fine. I just kind of like rebent it and moved it out of the way better. And I busted one of the plugs on it as well, like for the actuator for it. It didn't like bust it out or anything, but it like definitely took like a corner of the plug or something out. It still plugs, clicks in and everything. Like it doesn't do anything weird, but it's like, huh, okay. Yeah, that's clearly a shortfall that I need handle.
It's hanging real low.
Yeah. But other than that, like since we last talked, I mean, obviously I went and we did the Rubicon in it with like an inch of lift and 37s. And then, and then now it's got 2 inches of lift after a whole ordeal, but, it does have 2 inches of lift. Yeah. The Deavers never showed up. So I finally got my money back on that. And so then I just went the route of putting the stock blocks back in it. And I did the, like a spacer on the front just to get it the like leveling kit spacer, because I could thread the coilovers up higher. But at the same time, I was like, okay, so I'd be adding more preload, which is going to make it ride probably more harsh. And I'm losing down travel on the shock by threading that up more. So to me, it made more sense to spend the $20 or $30 or whatever the fuck it was for the leveling kit spacer and just toss that in. And then I could lower the coilover so that I would have slightly more travel, but still get that little bit of lift. So
it's always something.
Yeah. It's always something.
Always.
But yeah, good. I mean, we've been using it. I mean, that's why I got it. Right. So. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's been great. The only issues it's ever had were because of me. So, you know, using it hard. Yeah. Other than that, it's been totally fine. So,
heck yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. It was impressive, on the Rubicon. And then, we did some like local rock crawl stuff after. I think all of us got a little more confidence, which we'd all like done these trails before, but then we were like, all right, this is much easier now. Now let's take the next step up on everything.
Yeah. Cool.
Just continued to deliver. Pretty good. Mm-hmm.
And how's your Toyota doing, man?
It's pretty good. I just moved to Colorado and, so I did a 1200 mile road trip in it, which kind of like your, I put a bunch of miles on mine, I guess this summer, but, I towed a little U-Haul trailer out here, use like a moving company for everything else, but like this little tiny U-Haul trailer. And I got like, I don't know, 8 miles to the gallon, driving 80 miles an hour across Idaho and Wyoming. And, I've driven it, I don't know, 3 times since I've been here, which has been maybe 2.5 weeks, almost 3 weeks. And it has a leaky transmission cooler. That's about it.
That's
cool. That's the extent. I have a bunch of parts that I need to throw on it and a tiny little garage now, so we'll see what happens.
Wow, man, I didn't know you moved out to Colorado.
Yeah, it's fresh. So.
Yeah, like just happened.
Yeah, I can hear the echoes in your microphone. There's like nothing on your walls.
I have, it's funny, I leaned over a second ago. I put these like foam panels up just to like get something on the wall for a second. Yeah. And 3 of them fell down. So going well.
Did a really good job installing those.
I have a new microphone coming. I'm like really trying to make this so this really works, but like this, yeah. I take the studio for granted. It was so much better.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
It's all right here. I'm not going to complain. I love where cool. I came from. It's a Central Oregon is the best. It's amazing. But it's pretty cool out here. It's
cool, man.
There's a lot of cool stuff. Yeah. And I've barely gotten a chance to explore, so in my three drives.
Are you Maddie left, Colin?
I mean,
yeah, he is.
Yeah. It's one of those things. He'd been threatening it for a good, it must be 2 or 3 years, but there was never anything
like
solid.
Empty threat.
Yeah. There was like a couple of threats. And then like, there was like, oh, I went and interviewed for this job in California or whatever. Like at one point, and I was like, that's a bold threat. And then nothing ever came of it. And so after that, I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe it wasn't really any much of anything, but yeah, then it turns into this.
Hey, thanks for pointing out my failures, Colin. I think in hindsight, it turns out it's a good idea I didn't get that job, by the way. But
nobody wants to live in California.
Well, I know that it was more the company, but you know.
Yeah, well,
but also that. I don't know. It happened and we're here. So
cool, we'll man. Well, congrats. That's cool.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate it.
There's a lot of wheeling out there.
There's a ton. I was just talking to somebody at work today about Easter Jeep Safari and Moab and some things going on. And I was like, I can just go. It's 5 hours away. Okay. I can just drive out there and meet you. So I'm pretty stoked about that.
Heck yeah. That's awesome.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Colin, do we have time to do a fun thing?
I think we do.
So, isn't that nice music? We haven't done this with a guest, but I think it's going to be really fun.
First. This is the first time
we're doing a thing. Lay it out,
Colin. What are we doing?
I'm a little scared, actually.
Okay, so we play a game called Would You Pay Money for This? And this is basically, I have a thing about scouring the internet for for sale rigs and cars and all sorts of things like that. And I will present them to the group and we will decide if we would pay money for this.
I love
as a group. So where do we want to start? Let's see, I've got four for this one. Where should we start, Sean? How do you want me to order these?
Let's do newest to oldest.
Newest to oldest. This will be telling of the age spans, I think, for you. So I'm going to share this here. All right.
Oh, wow.
And so in honor of
of
you being our guest, I changed the location to, you know, semi-local to you, Ryan. So got here a 92 Ford Bronco. It's listed at 70,000, which is quite a lot.
Whoa.
But so 92, stock 5.8 with an intake and exhaust, full cage, with 1 3/4 DOM. We've got 4.5-inch wider TTBs, Solo Motorsports fabricated beam pivots. We've got 12-inch, 2.5 Kings, and 2.5 Hydros, strapped at 17 inches, brand new steering box, and power steering pump. Needs, 4x4 work, just needs front differential re-geared. So, and then he copied and pasted the same information. What is going on? Oh, maybe not. Okay, there's some weird stuff here. 37-inch, spare inside. Full tube chassis back half, bore link, Solo Motorsports pivots, 16-inch Kings back.
25 inches in the back.
18-inch 3-tube bypass, strapped at 25. It's strapped at 25 inches on the back, John. Plus rough stuff, 9-inch housing. Okay, so we'll go through the pictures here. And
that's nice. Man.
that's got some like stuff that. Going on.
So I always find it important to point this out. We always say the object is just, would you pay money for this? Not would you pay this money for this? Because sometimes we get really far in the weeds with like, this thing is outrageously priced or it's a really good deal. So do your best, but you know, it's going to be part of it because that's what everybody does.
Yeah.
I'll go first. I don't think I'd pay that money, but I would absolutely pay money for this. I think it's sick.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I would absolutely pay money.
I can't believe it's 70 grand though, that it's not re-geared in the front. Come on.
Right. Yeah. For that, you'd think
you'd bump that price up to 72.5, make some money on the deal and re-gear the front.
Figure it out. Redo it. Just get it done.
But I mean, I've got a thing for OBS Fords as it is. And then when it's a gnarly travel desert truck like that, like, yeah, I'm 100% in.
Yeah, no, that thing is sick, man. I love the TTB, the four-wheel drive front end. That's some pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool technology, and it looks like it's all super built and can take some even jumps and whoops pretty fast. I would definitely pay money for that.
Okay. There's a 3 for 3 on the first one.
I like it. So you're way better off already than the last one.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. You know what, Sean? I screwed up the years. My bad.
Oh, is there a newer one?
Yeah, there's a newer one. So
I like this path that we're on right now.
Yeah. Well, I told you.
Well, I guess you looked in Southern California.
I pulled up Southern California. It's all desert trucks, man.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Where I live, that's all, you get it everywhere. It's amazing. It's a curse mostly from Facebook Marketplace. I'm like a squirrel. Just everywhere I look, something's for sale.
Oh, yeah.
So this one, 98 1500 Chevrolet. This one's 22,000. So we've got 245,000 miles. It's a 3-door, clean California title. It's got a 5.7 4L60. Complete rebuild is roughly 2 years old. So we've got a Schumacher Metalworks long travel front with 16 inches of travel. Dana 44 hubs, Wilwood brakes, billet tie rods, Fox 2.5x10s,
spring under Devers in the back.
So, yeah, C85 under Devers, Schumacher bed cage, 3.5 18 triple bypasses, two-piece drive line.
But this truck's two-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interior semi-stripped. Interior semi-stripped.
Okay.
PRP seats, power windows and locks. Hey, AC and heat work. I mean, come on.
All right. This is a luxury pre-runner.
Yeah. 37s on 17-inch Vision bead locks with a matching spare. Looking to join the Beam team. So trades for
trades
Broncos.
For Broncos.
So here we go. So this guy can just trade
for
the Bronco that we just looked at. Yeah. Done deal. Okay.
It's come up with
Except
a cool
this
50
is
grand.
240,000 miles.
Yeah. So why is the back of the cab weird? Do
Maybe
you see the color difference here?
Yeah.
Yeah. But why is.
Oh, interesting.
Back of the cab is like dark green, but. And the inside is dark green. So, yeah. So something's. Because that's the engine bay.
Yeah.
And the underhood, that's green.
It must be wrapped.
Yeah, the whole truck
it could
was
be painted,
green.
But
you can see that there. Hmm. Yeah, so it's two-wheel drive, but it's a desert truck.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, they're not my favorite Chevy.
Yeah, that's a hoopty, man. I'd still pay money for that, though.
Yeah, I'm right there with Ryan. I would too. I like it. I like that body of truck though too. So,
Yeah,
it's kind of a little bit square, but not fully squared off. Yeah, I like that body.
I think it's cool, but I've never liked these, and especially the interior is so like bleh for me.
Oh, they're terrible.
Granted,
yeah.
He says it's semi-stripped, so maybe that would make it better for me, but. But I'm a no. I can't. It's cool. I I will give it that. I do think it's cool, but I don't think I'd pay money for it.
I'm just trying to Google now to see if there's like a 90s Chevy trophy truck, like livery you could put on this thing. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there is.
Oh, yeah.
There's a...
I'll stop sharing so that you can share your livery.
Yeah, hold on. This is what I would do to this.
This is what I would do to this.
Uh-oh.
This is where it goes off the rails.
Here we go.
Oh, sick. Okay.
With that lightning bolt?
With the lightning bolt on it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's as 90s as it gets right there.
That's very 90s. Little
Casey inner the grill lights. That is sick.
That's funny.
That thing looks like a cartoon.
That one kind of did, yeah.
Yeah.
It almost looks like I got this hammer's blanket. It looks like this thing right here.
Yeah, it does.
Damn cartoon truck.
All right, this next one. This one got me. This is interesting.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so this is an 89 K5. We're at 28,000. It's got a 350 in it, a 700 R4, a Midnight Metalworks D300 rock box with 4:1, twin stick, front axle is a GM 10 bolt, which I don't remember that being a one ton, right?
No,
that's not really.
So, but the rear is a 14 bolt.
Yeah. It said it has full hydro steering. That's pretty dangerous. Yeah, you can't take this thing anywhere on the street. I mean, it's a rock crawler. That thing's cool, but you're not driving that thing over 45 miles an hour anywhere.
Mickey Thompson 38s, the big ugly competition, you know, mud things. I mean, and it's doved front and rear, but it is...
Mm-mm. I think I'm out on that one.
Yeah,
it's got some parts, I guess, but like also it's got some garbage on it. Like, why would you go full hydro on a less than Dana 44 front on a full size rig?
Yeah.
Who makes that decision?
Yeah, the like purpose built crawler, and then to put not one tons under it is such an odd choice to me.
Yeah, that's a heavy car, you know. I mean, the frame and the motor and all that, you need some thickness under there for sure.
I mean, we know the 350 doesn't make fucking shit for power anyway, but like still.
Hey, that's a GM Goodrich crate engine.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's a throttle body injected 350, pal.
Yeah, that is also so ugly.
Yeah, the front fender cut is, well, I guess I should say both fender cuts are pretty odd, to say the least. I like he kept the tailgate, though. Cute little guy.
That is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. There was a lot of work put into a lot of that. It just it doesn't feel right, you know?
Yeah.
This shot looks a little like AI decided to make a vehicle based on this description.
Right. Yeah. We just read this into it and this is what it comes up with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a no also. It's definitely too funky for me. So
that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a good way to put it.
All right, so this last one, I'm going to share this, is a 71 Scout for 24.5. So this has got a 5-liter Ford with a double Atlas transmission, it says. Military axles, front and rear steer, 51s.
Jesus.
So, and then he had some more info like in one of the pictures, but I mean,
am I crazy or is this thing like a bargain?
Well, when you saw the price of the last one, kind of, yeah.
24,000. Wow. That's interesting.
So let's see. Yeah. So it's got an EFI 5 liter from a Grand Marquis, a C6,
okay. Yeah,
a 203/205 doubler, an aluminum radiator, 2.5/5 ton hybrid steer axles.
Jesus.
Custom built, consists of 2.5 to center with girdle as well as custom spool to make to take a 5 ton shaft. The 2.5 ton housing is fitted with 5 ton CS knuckles and 5 ton U-joint shaft spindles and hubs.
This is like mud truck stuff, but
yeah, it is. Yeah. These axles would cost $13,000 to have built today. Check this morning.
Just go. Is there a website for this?
Just call somebody.
You just go to militaryaxles.com. Yeah.
So suspension is 4-link, 18-inch Oris. Orias?
O-R-I-O-R-I-S. Yeah.
Okay.
They're those like crazy air shock things. They have a spring thing inside of them.
Some punctuation here would be nice when you're trying to read this. Double bead lock with 54-inch claws. Extras. Corbu seats front and rear. Stazworks auto center rear steer kit. And a low car shifter. And I believe NWF TK shifters.
Okay.
So.
I mean, it looks so cool.
And it's got this weird boat side on it too.
Yeah. It's odd, but cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it is bordering mud truck that could also be like a crawler.
I mean, it can't, all of its weight must be in that axle and tire setup. Like, so it's not going over easy.
Right.
That's cool looking.
I think I'd pay money for it. I don't know. This is another case of like, I don't know what I'd do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's so cool looking that I want it.
Yeah. Just kind of like the square body that was dubbed in the front and the rear. It just didn't work, but something like this.
This
it
works.
Just works. It looks better. It works. I'm not going to be driving it on the street or to go get groceries, but it's so cool. I want it.
I mean, maybe
sure.
Once, you know.
Yeah, I want to try.
Give it a go at least one time. Yeah, I think I would pay money for this. It's just that gnarly.
In North Hollywood, man.
North Hollywood, yeah, Burbank.
Huh.
Dang, that's right down the street, man. I should go check it out.
Go see it in person.
Why don't you go do the man on the ground for that and let us know?
Do a little walk around for us.
Yeah. Pretty sick, actually. This thing is a monster.
Yeah.
It is a borderline monster truck. I guess maybe that's why I like it. It's just close enough to a monster truck that I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah, it's the monster truck you could, you know, the everyman could own, right?
It's the everyman challenge monster truck.
There you go. Put it in the race.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Cool. I like that. That's fun. I'm always on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always.
Aren't we all? And that's why it's entertaining to do that.
We have problems. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, yeah, we did it. I think that... that was good. I appreciate you coming back out. I mean, we talked about you coming back on, you know, at the end of the last one anyway for the truck update. So, and then with hammers happening, I like sent a message to Sean and I was just like, you know, it would be kind of timely for us to talk hammers with Ryan because, you know, he was there and actually did the race. So,
heck yeah.
Cool. Yeah, no, Hammers was crazy. It was as usual, like I said, it always gets crazier every year and had a great time. And I hope you guys can make it out one of these years. I mean, come camp with us. Like I say to everybody, come, there's it's a freaking desert, man. There's so much room.
There was a trailer this year. Come on. Would have been great.
That's true. I did have a trailer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
was, so we would have had to slow it up next to you, but
yeah, that's all good. Hey, I tent camped for the first like 5 years, 5 or 6 years, just wind blowing my tent sideways and everything. It just, everybody does it their own way, you know?
Yeah. We could probably make this a almost a yearly thing, considering you're apparently just constantly going to be doing stupid things with your truck. So
yes. Absolutely. That works. You know, call me anytime. I love talking to you guys, and our ZR2 or Colorado group, they like watching this because obviously you're so connected with your ZR2, and here I even have a little flag, the GM special guys. We're having a big Colorado Canyon meetup again at Calico, May something. Maybe you guys can put that in your description or whatever, but it's May something. I'll text it to you. But I mean, bring your Colorado down, dude. It will have, last year we had 100? No, 50. We had 50. Fine. Yeah. It gets bigger every year. Yeah. And Jeeps and Toyotas show up and all that too. But there's, you know, a ton of Chevy Colorados. And then I'll have mine out there and be drowning everybody out and all that with my straight pipe exhaust. But yeah, you know, it's cool to see how everybody kind of does their own thing with the same platform and all that. So it's always a blast to have the GM special guys out there.